But first, Paul Bongiorno is in our Parliament House studios. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Paul, elections are fought over words, policies and images. And today the front page of some News Limited papers show Julia Gillard in an armchair knitting a toy kangaroo for the royal baby. It's a photo shoot for this month's Women's Weekly. And the PM says it's about showing another side of her that, I guess, this is not quoting her, but I guess to say to voters there's more to me than just the Iron Maiden. What do you think of the image, Paul, and the political decision behind it?
Well, there is no doubt that there is a softer and a warmer side to Julia Gillard. She's a very engaging person, and I doubt any who have met her either formally or informally would dispute that. I've got to say that I can't see that this picture will win too many votes. My mother used to knit, but she never had full hair and makeup to do it.
Well, but you don't go to a photo shoot for Women's Weekly without full hair and makeup either, or...
No, that's exactly
right.
That'd
be a disaster.
Look, well, I guess it's a bit of fun. I think Reuben is a terrific little dog. And I guess
the PM does knit a lot. I mean, that's how she has her downtime.
That's how she does things. Now, I'm not. There's something counterintuitive about it for me. You know, I think feminists would be saying, "Well, look, you know, we want to get away from the kitchen sink and the knitting image. We want to show that we're out there in the real big world doing real big things." There's no doubt that Julia Gillard, as Prime Minister of Australia, does all of that. So I'm not exactly sure what the image does. It's a well taken picture. The Prime Minister actually looks pretty good, and I'm sure that the new royal baby will like the knitted kangaroo.
I'm sure. Paul asked yesterday if she enjoyed the support of caucus. Julia Gillard replied, absolutely. She said the leadership issue was settled in March. Greg Combe told us here on Breakfast yesterday that, well, basically he sort of laid down the gauntlet to Kevin Rudd, urging him to test his numbers. Will Kevin Rudd be goaded? Will he be goaded into running for the leadership, do you think?
Well, look, there are conflicting messages coming from, if I can call it this, the Rudd camp. There are some who still believe he will. I was told late last night by someone who really believes that Labor's only hope is to return to Kevin Rudd, that he will this time accept that he should go up against the Prime Minister. However, others very close to Kevin Rudd say his position hasn't changed one little bit. It's a message that was put out there yesterday. It's a message being put out there again today. It's up to the Cabinet to decide what they want to do with the leadership. In other words, the conditions that Kevin Rudd has put out there for his backers and supporters and to the whole of the parliamentary Labor Party is, I'm not going to lead a divided party. If you want me to come back, you have to show that you will unite behind me so that I can credibly lead a united Labor Party into the election. And the way in which this unity is to be displayed is that senior cabinet ministers, and not only Bill Shorten, Greg Combe, and others who have been closely identified and associated with Julia Gillard, have to come out and publicly endorse him. So that condition seems to be locked in concrete. It's very unlikely, given what we've been hearing from senior ministers this week and last week, that is going to happen. I'd have to say that the determination coming from a significant side of the Rudd camp would suggest that nothing's going to happen this week.
There is some talk. I noticed that Michael Danby, and I think Michael Danby is a backer of Julia Gillard, predicting there'll be a petition to convene a special Labor caucus meeting later this week. Do you think there will be?
Well, look, why would you have a petition unless there is another candidate to run against Gillard? I think Gillard's completely right. I mean, the leadership position was settled in March in an overwhelming fashion. It was Gillard, 100, and any opposition, zip. She's already tried that on. I've got to say that there are some in the caucus, and I'm not including Kevin Rudd here, who seem to be much keener on keeping this stirred up than the putative leader.
On another issue, Paul, the ABC and Fairfax have gone undercover, in a sense, to get an admission from someone they describe as an Indonesian former policeman turned people smuggler, which basically suggests corruption is widespread in Indonesia, which is perhaps no surprise. But this investigation has uncovered allegations that the Indonesian police are taking bribes to allow this person to set sail boats of asylum seekers to Australia, including that boat which sank last year off the coast of Australia. This is, you know, as I say, nothing new in a sense, but here's some real information. This is going to make for a difficult conversation, you'd think, with President Cecilia Bambang Yudhoyono when the Prime Minister goes there next month.
Well, exactly. And what it points out, I mean, there have been grave suspicions that you couldn't have so many boats coming from Indonesia every day. I mean, this guy apparently claims he's responsible for three a week. And, of course, others are responsible for many more. And, by the way, one of his sank 90 people drowned. Mm. If this doesn't send a message to would-be asylum seekers or boat people that you literally are risking your lives, what will? But having said all of that, it also shows that Indonesia, the best that can be said for it is that it's turning a blind eye. The worst that can be said for it is that it's tacitly encouraging this trade to be one that passes through Indonesia on the way to Australia, that they want to be a transit company, that they certainly don't want to stop the flow on their shores.
Which raises two issues, doesn't it? It goes to, you know, what heart to any kind of regional solution if Indonesia is playing this kind of double game, in a sense. But also, why wouldn't Indonesia be trying to get these people to pass through? Because it's got, you know, tens of thousands of people there waiting at the moment.
Yes, exactly. And it also raises questions. Why would they be in any way, shape or form interested in having boats turned back? Now, there is one argument, and I've often quoted this, but Philip Ruddock, in the speech he made in the Parliament last year, pointed out that Indonesia doesn't mind it if Australia gets really, really hairy chested and sends a message that, look, don't bother trying to get to Australia, which would mean don't bother trying to get to Malaysia or Indonesia. Mm. You know, stay in the Middle East and maybe head west rather than east. But I'm inclined to think that that moment has well and truly passed. Maybe the Malaysian solution was the last big chance we had of any sort of effective deterrence. And I think Australia, sooner or later, is going to have a complete rethink on asylum seekers, realising that deterrence and cruelty is not the way, is A, not working, and B, is not something we really want to do anyway.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.